Ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's me, Santino Marelli. Today I'm going to give a little bit shout out to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Ninja Turtles were not real. And it's on Reality Check Podcast Network. Well, Reality Check, Ninja Turtles were not real. Trust me, I went in the sewer myself. I got trapped, police department came, fire department, long story. So check out the podcast. Because what else are you going to do? To check out Rad Turtles Wrestling? It's fun to say Rad Turtles. Son of my God. In fact, the Turtles chocolate candy, that's my mother's favorite candy, so that's something positive.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is the review show of one of the most anticipated rivalries in the history of professional wrestling, AEW versus NXT, and we're bringing it to you RTW style. That means the most in-depth, cutting-edge coverage of the Wednesday Night War. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is your RTW Wednesday Night War review show, episode number 26. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. We are obviously dealing with COVID-19 still, and we will be for the foreseeable future. Again, both of these shows are in empty arenas, and it's going to be that way for quite a while. It's just very odd and very unique. I want to know from you guys, before I get into these shows, send me an email, radturtleswrestling@gmail.com, or DM me on Twitter, @RadRobGaming. Let me know how you guys feel about these empty arena shows. Have you gotten used to it? Is it still weird? Is this going to be the normal for a while? How have you been affected by these changes, and how has it changed your view of wrestling? Anything you want to talk about? Just DM me or email me and just let me know what you think about these empty arena shows. I'd like to hear your opinions. So let's not waste any time. Let's get into Dynamite first. Pretty entertaining show, especially the opening match. So here's what I thought about this week's AEW Dynamite. Once again, we are without Jim Ross, who has not been able to travel. And I don't blame him. I mean, especially JR, being in an advanced age, not that Tony Giovanni's a spring chicken, but, maybe JR doesn't want to get sick. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him, and maybe he'd come out and said it on Grillin' JR. But he was not here again. We were joined by Cody Rhodes, once again, starting off the show on commentary with Tony Schiavone. This was coming from an undisclosed location. Parts unknown. The previous 2 weeks were at Daly's Place in Orlando, Florida. The amphitheater they have down there. But this is coming from what looked like to be a warehouse. A very small warehouse. Funny how things quickly change, you know. the perception of NXT and WWE lately, you know, NXT especially, just regarding the Wednesday Night War that's been going on. NXT has perceived to be the minor leagues, and even smaller than AEW. AEW had been coming to you from various arenas around the country. Now we're on the same playing field. And in fact, you know, you could even say that Full Sail was bigger than this place and looked better. Funny how things change because of this whole virus thing, and we'll see how perceptions change. I will get into the ratings, which were not good for either show. But, yeah, you know, once things are leveled and we get a few weeks into this, you know, if AEW keeps coming to you from this warehouse, people may perceive AEW differently than they used to, especially the casual fan that might be flipping through and looking at this and be like, oh, wow, what the hell is that? But anyway, our opening match was a fantastic match. Was the cleaner, Kenny Omega, taking on Trent Beretta from the Best Friends tag team with Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy at ringside. You know, last week they had various people in a room, which isn't really safe social distancing at all. and they were, you know, watching on the monitor and cheering, and they were piping that noise into the broadcast. But this time they had wrestlers on each side again, good side, bad side. Not that many people. I believe Kip Sabian was on one side with, Britt Baker and Jimmy Havoc. I think there's one other female there. And then the other side was Billy Gunn and some dude I've never seen before. I couldn't even tell you who was on the other side. That's how sad this was. You know, some scrubs. They went back to having just people out there again just to make noise so it wasn't so quiet out there. And I think Brandi Rhodes was out there as well. But, Kenny Omega took on Trent in a really, really good match. There was a really dangerous spot at one point when they went outside the ring. They went on the other side of the barricade, and there was a pole there that obviously was used to... hold up the roof of the warehouse. And Kenny Omega powerbombed Trent against that post, kind of like what Seth Rollins does with the buckle bomb. Omega did that against this post. These guys have great chemistry. They really do. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match. Near the end, Omega hit a Snapdragon, picked up Trent, went for another one. Trent blocked it with a series of elbows. Trent then destroyed Omega with a huge lariat, followed by a reverse tombstone attempt. Kenny blocks it, hits a powerbomb, followed by the V-trigger. Trent rolled to the apron. Omega followed him out for a German suplex attempt. And then Trent blocked it, and they just started chaining chops back and forth. Trent then attempted to pile drive Omega onto the ring apron, but Omega backdropped him back into the ring. Kenny leapt to the top. Trent cut him off, climbed up with him, hit a German suplex, Trent then hit a flying knee for another near fall. Trent attempt the reverse tombstone again. Omega blocked it once again, hits a pump knee, followed by the one-winged angel for the pin. So Kenny Omega gets the win in a really competitive match. I mean, we know how good Kenny is. I think he's been a little bit lackluster in AEW, but this really focused and showcased how great Trent Beretta is. He was so good. Really, really good. And I've been a big fan of his for quite a while. Don't think he got the credit he deserved in WWE, but he's doing good things here in AEW. So great way to kick off the show.
What's going on? You have John Wanglin, one of the hosts of Wrestling With Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling With Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling With Reality on all major podcast outlets.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wanglin from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
Then we get highlights from the bizarre Matt Hardy-Chris Jericho confrontation from last week. Hardy says that he will break the inner circle and has sentenced Jericho to delete. We then get a match between Hikaru Shida, who is the number one contender for the AEW Women's Championship, versus the debut of Anna Jay. Not sure who Anna Jay is. Obviously, it's her debut, but they did mention during this match that she was trained by QT Marshall. Cody said that she was trained by the Nightmare family. So QT and I don't remember who else he said was involved in her training, but she wasn't good. She really wasn't. I really wouldn't. If I was Cody, I wouldn't have put the Nightmare family name behind that because, you know, and I understand it's her debut and she's probably nervous, but she seemed way out of place. And I'm becoming a fan of Shida. But yeah, no, this was the wrong time for a debut of this, especially against the number one contender. Yeah, it just, it didn't look good. She kept waiting for spots, you know, just, I don't know. It just didn't register with me at all. Near the end, Jay caught Shida with a La Mahi straw cradle for a near fall and then a backslide for another near fall. Shida then attempted a roundhouse kick. Jay ducked it, rolled her up for another near fall. Shida surprised Jay with a triangle, but Jay quickly got to the ropes. Shida then hit a vertical suplex for a near fall. Shida then hit a running knee to the back, followed by a Michinoku driver for the pin and the win. Hikaru Shida, your number one contender for the AEW Women's Championship, gets the win in this match. We then got a pre-taped segment from Jon Moxley showing his issues with the Inner Circle. Moxley said he is a, quote, miserable son of a bitch right now. After what they did to him, Moxley says that he will defend the AEW title with his life. It's kind of extreme for a belt. Jake Hager said that he isn't in AEW to send the fans home happy or get applause. He's here to win. They showed highlights of Hager's Bellator wins, who he's undefeated in mixed martial arts. Really trying to make him feel like he's it's a really big deal. Moxley says that he knows Hager inside and out, so he isn't scared of him, but he does understand that he could strangle him into unconsciousness with his bare hands. Hager said that he's had his hands on Moxley and he knows that he isn't as strong as he is or as capable as he is. Sammy Guevara put his thoughts in, saying that Jake Hager's a monster. Moxley said that he knew the Inner Circle would send their big gun at him, so that is why he came after him first a few weeks ago. Chris Jericho gives his thoughts and says that Hager will teach Moxley a lesson. He says that he has a rematch coming, but he's not going to use it yet because he wants Hager to teach him a lesson first. Les Champion says that if Hager wins the World Championship, then that is great because it teaches Moxley a lesson and makes their two world champions in the Inner Circle. Hager says that a champion has to be willing to do anything to earn that championship because if you give less than everything you have, it won't be enough. He said, I guarantee you, Mox, you will get everything Jake Hager has. Moxley finished off by saying that Hager is just a man and he has a weakness that he will find. He is just another Goliath. David will just have to find another way to slay this big bastard. Then it was revealed that Hager will challenge for the world title in 2 weeks in a no-holds-barred match. After our next commercial break, Colt Cabana joins the commentary for the next match, and then we see a promo package before this next match with Jake the Snake Roberts, which I do want to play for you because Jake is doing some of the best stuff he's ever done. And after being out of the game for so long, to come back, especially clean and clear-headed, man, this guy really is showing why he truly was one of the best promo men in the business. So here it is. Here is Jake the Snake Roberts talking about his client, Lance Archer.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, ring the bell. Hell's fixing to break loose. Lance Archer, is about to come out here and destroy whatever you boys have cooked up. You see, you played this silly little game with us. He's pissed. Oh, God, is he pissed. And there's some people you shouldn't make mad. And just because I'm smiling does not mean I'm happy. You're delaying the inevitable. You're playing a silly little game. Children play games. We don't play. We're not gambling men. Gambling's for fools. You think casinos are open because they want to go broke? No. They got the cards in their hands, and we got a hell of a card. We got a big bullet, an ace. And that ace comes through that ramp, man. He's gonna tear somebody a new rear end. Cody, stop. Maybe you're smarter than I thought you were. You might be smart enough to be afraid. Or maybe your better half is telling you not to go. I'm pretty sure she wears the pants.
God, Jake is so good, man. Saying that hell is fixing to break loose. Archer's going to come out and destroy whoever AEW has in front of him. God, Jake is so good. He really is so good. Good to see him in a great headspace and see him clear-minded and coherent and really just, like I said, just proved why he is one of the best of all time. Why he completely understands the sport of professional wrestling and the psychology behind it. Always, always been a great promo. But his client, the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, taking on Marco Stunt. Yeah. Luchasaurus and Jungle Jack Perry weren't even there to help him. They must be under quarantine, I don't know. Or just didn't want to. Self-quarantining, maybe. Poor Marco. Not much to talk about this match. I mean, Archer just... before the match even started, Archer murdered some random guy at ringside. Like, I don't know if he was part of the production team. I didn't even see it, but all of a sudden they cut to him and he's laying on the ground. And then he completely obliterated Stunt with a clothesline. He dared Stunt to hit him back, and then Marco punched him 3-4 times in the face. Obviously, Archer no-sold him. Destroyed him with a big right hand. Archer then choked Stunt, suplexed his ass clear across the ring. Like, I've seen release German suplexes, release, you know, overhead belly to bellies. I don't think I've ever seen a release vertical suplex. He vertical suplexed him literally from one corner to the other. Pretty fucking impressive. Archer then laid Stunt's head, laid across Stunt's head and screamed at him to quit. Just give it up. Then tossed him way up in the air and dropped him with a sidewalk slam. Archer then went for a short arm clothesline, but Stunt was able to slide underneath into the floor. Stunt ran away from Archer. Stunt then ran away from Archer and then got back in the ring and hit a Tope Suicida, which we don't have Excalibur there, but Tony did his best to say, it's a Tope Suicida! But Archer just shrugged it off. Stunt went for another one. Archer rolled back in the ring and caught him. Archer went for a choke slam. Stunt backflipped onto his feet. I mean, he literally, like, lifted him up in the air, like, way up in the air, and holy shit, it was probably the highest reversal I've ever seen. It was pretty impressive by Stunt, who just did a backflip and got it, landed onto his feet, hit Archer with the enziguri. Stunt then hits the ropes, and Archer hit a huge pounce, sending Stunt flying out of the ring. Like, it was pretty impressive. Archer hit a gigantic choke slam after that. But then as he was pinning him, he pulled him up before the three count. And then Archer hit the blackout for the pin, which is his new finisher. Archer picked Stunt up after the match and literally choke slammed him off the apron, like over the top rope and onto some of the wrestlers that were behind the barricade. So, I mean, I get it. It's a pretty impressive looking feat. You know, for Lance Archer to make him look like a giant monster. But it's Marco Stunt, so I don't know what they really proved here other than just some fantastic aerial stuff by Stunt. And by aerial stuff, I mean by him getting thrown around all over the place. So Lance Archer, in his debut on Dynamite, gets the win against poor Marco Stunt. We then get a vignette from Brody Lee, which I do want to play for you guys, and this was very, very interesting. I'm going to let you listen to it first, and then I'll give you my thoughts on it afterwards. So here is the Exalted One, Brody Lee, addressing the members of the Dark Order.
I would like to take a few moments of your time and welcome you in. My name is Mr. Brody Lee, and I am the Exalted One of the Dark Order. And we, as a whole, understand that during these trying, unprecedented, anxious times, how you feel. I once was lost. I once was downtrodden. And I once was beaten down. But now, I stand before you as the Exalted One. So I want you to now stand next to me.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you. It's an honor.
It's Mr. Brody.
Yes, sir, Exalted One.
It's Mr. Brody. Tell the people what I told you to say.
We are one.
It is we are one. Please sit down. Something going on at home that you want to tell me about?
Sir.
Is there a reason you're tired? Is there a reason you're exhausted? Nothing in the world is open. There is no reason for you to yawn in my presence. Do you understand what tiredness shows to people? It shows weakness. Are you weak? Right now, you look weak to me. I can't have that within these doors. Do you understand? Don't you ever yawn in my presence again. Go.
So, Brody mentioned something about Vince McMahon last week. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he took a couple pot shots at him, and now he was in a boardroom dressed up in a suit and wanted to be called Mr. Brody. Even went after somebody for yawning, which is something that Vince has done before, and it's been well documented that Vince hates sleep. He thinks sleep is the devil. And this guy in the Dark Order, whoever it was in this mask, yawned, and Brody got in his face and said, you know, don't ever yawn in front of me ever again. That's just completely taking a shot at Vince McMahon. I've never agreed with stuff like that, and Cody Rhodes has been very vocal about that stuff, and I'm okay if he does it. But when the rest of your guys that are, you know, former malcontents from the WWE follow suit, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not saying it wasn't entertaining. It was definitely, I mean, definitely, there's I guarantee a large part of the audience will think that's fucking badass, you know, if you're 18 to 25 or whatever. But I didn't really care for that. I think they just need to stay in their own lane and do their own stuff. But I mean, we saw it with Stone Cold. And ECW making fun of Eric Bischoff and all that. So, I mean, I get it. Like I said, I was, you know, 20 years old when that happened. And I thought it was badass. But at this age, I'm just not a fan of it. But let me know what you guys think about it. We go to commercial break. We come back. We have the Dark Order members 8 and 9. That's literally what they call them. Taking on the Natural Nightmares, the new tag team. I guess it's a new tag team. They officially have a name now. QT Marshall. And Dustin Rhodes with Brandi Rhodes at ringside. I have no idea who 8 and 9 are. Nobody knew. QT Marshall teased putting on the Dark Order mask that they gave him last week. But then decked the Dark Order guys. Rhodes and Marshall hit 8 with an assisted neck breaker. 8 and 9 double team Marshall in the corner. Marshall fought out, hit a vertical suplex on 9, and then a flatliner on 8. Dustin came in, hits an uppercut on 8, connects with an atomic drop, followed by a bulldog, the usual Dustin Rhodes stuff. Then hit a snap power slam, both Dark Order members roll to the floor. Rhodes hits a somersault plancha off the apron, which is pretty impressive, onto, I forgot which one of them, and Marshall dove onto the other. They got back in the ring, the Natural Nightmares hit a neckbreaker power slam combo for the pin and the win. After the match, Brody Lee came out, stared at Dustin before he just walked right past him, got in the ring and just destroyed 8 with a powerbomb and stared down 9. 9 just said, hey man, it's cool, I'm out of here. So interesting to see the Dark Order get a loss, but it's two guys we never heard of before. It wasn't the usual suspects. So I don't know if we're going to see more of this, but it looks like Brody Lee will eventually right the ship through brute force, to be quite honest.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM. With a new episode every morning, it's the perfect start to your working day.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap Up.
After the commercial, we get a promo from Chris Jericho. God, this was really good. At one point, Vanguard 1 showed up, and they switched to the camera, the bird's eye view from Vanguard 1, and on the screen said "Palace du Le Champion" or something like that. Parts unknown. Funny stuff. But here's Chris Jericho cutting a promo from his hot tub at his palatial palace. It's definitely entertaining. Here he is.
Finally, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Chris Jericho makes his appearance on Dynamite. But you might be wondering why I'm at home in my palatial estate with a little bit of the bubbly. And the reason for that is simple. Today is a holiday. Much like Martin Luther King Day honors the great doctor, and Veteran Day honors the great servicemen and women around the country. Today is April Fool's Day, and I've never met a bigger group of fools in my life than the elite. I mean, think about it. Kenny Omega, the biggest pumpkin-headed dipshit I've ever met in my life. And then Nick Jackson, at home with his little head injury and, of course, his newborn baby. Congratulations, Nick. Maybe you should stay at home for the next year and a half or 2 years on maternity leave and hire your deadbeat brother Matt to mow your lawn while you're at it. And then there's Hangman Page. Haven't seen him for weeks. He's hunkered down tipsy in Tennessee with Harry the Horse, whatever the hell his name was. And then, of course, you got the Tiger King himself, Cody Exotic, the leader of this menagerie of miscreants and morons, who then does the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life and hires Matt Hardy. Dumbass kiss. He's 3,000 years old. Well, that's good, because you're going to need another 3,000 years to get over the embarrassment and the beating that the Inner Circle gives you. Because don't forget, when this virus is done and everything goes back to normal and I allow fans back into the AEW arena, you're still going to have to face the Inner Circle in Blood and Guts. You're still going to have to face the Inner Circle in the most dangerous match known to man. Vanguard 1, I knew you'd come, but I'm glad you did, because I gotta be honest with you. I said some very harsh words to you last week, and I just really want to apologize. I really want to say that I just want that message to be clear. I also want to be clear to you that I want you in the Inner Circle. And now that it's just you and me, I don't want you to be nervous like last week. I want you to really think about it. We want you to wear the shirt. Just put it on, Vanguard, and become part of the inner circle. What do you say? I mean, look at this. You look good, Vanguard, huh? Are you in? Should we shake on it? Wait. Elbow to propeller. Huh? What do you say? Wait. You come back here! You come back, Vanguard! You're not leaving again! You come back here! You get back here! Release the hounds! Get him! Get him! Get him! You're gonna regret this! You're gonna regret this, Vanguard! I'm gonna get you! I'm gonna get you! That little bastard stole my t-shirt.
April Fool's Day. Never saw a bigger group of fools than the Elite. Vanguard 1 shows up. Chris starts to apologize for what he said to him, but can't say the word sorry. then tries to recruit Vanguard 1 again and offered it like this tiny little inner circle shirt. It was like a baby shirt, you know, like a toddler shirt on a hanger. He hung it on a clip on Vanguard 1, and Vanguard 1 flew away, and Jericho got pissed again and said, "Unleash the hounds!" And like all six of Jericho's dogs come out, like little fucking like Pomeranian and like, you know, five or six different small and large breed dogs. You know, like no killers or anything like that, like no Dobermans or pit bulls, but they're just all barking at Vanguard. Vanguard, you know, flies away as Chris Jericho runs down the pier that he has there. He's got like a boat launch. It's good stuff. I really enjoy the stuff between Jericho and Vanguard 1. Our final match of the night, our main event, the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara, the best ever, my favorite wrestler, and the chairman, Sean Spears, who we haven't seen in quite a while. You know, they give their records. Sean Spears is 1-6. Let that sink in. Sean Spears and Sammy Guevara taking on the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin. Really, really good match. I'm warming up to Darby Allin, but I still think he's dangerous. I still think he's a little sloppy and negligent with some of the stuff that he does. But he's over. The kids love it. He's a cool character. Reminds me of a young Jeff Hardy. Tope Suicida is all over the place. Coffin drops, just all kinds of stuff here. Near the end of the match, Darby Allin rolled Sean Spears into the ring, sets up for a coffin drop, but Sammy cut him off, and Sammy got thrown out to the floor after that. Cody climbed up, hit a reverse superplex on Guevara only for Spears to hit Cody with a frog splash when he landed. Guevara tossed Spears a chair, but Darby pulled away from him, and because of that, when he got distracted by Guevara pulling the chair from Darby, Spears rolled him up, just like a distraction roll-up that WWE loves using for the pin. So Guevara and Spears got the win by distraction. After the match, Cody tried to check on Darby Allin, but completely ate a forearm smash. So looks like they're not on the same page again. We've seen an up-and-down thing between Cody and Darby, and Darby's kind of been focusing on the inner circle lately, but looks like he may have a little bit of tension here again with Cody Rhodes. So pretty good show. Look at some of the comments on Twitter. Somebody had tweeted, "I don't know if wrestling a child was the most effective way of getting Archer over." That's hilarious. Some fans thought it was boring. You know, maybe because there was lack of a crowd. Somebody wasn't thrilled with Omega, still thinks he's kind of bland and boring in AEW. I mean, I get it, but I thought he was good in this match. So, I mean, there's mixed reviews around this show, but I'm sure the diehards loved it. And I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought the promo stuff was really good. I thought the video package was fantastic. The women's match was meh. The beginning match was great. The Archer match, I mean, I get why they did it. The Dark Order match was interesting. I'm not a QT Marshall fan. I'm not sure why they're pushing this guy. Then you got your main event with four really good wrestlers. It's a pretty good show. Not one of their best. Kind of weird in that warehouse. And I don't know. It's just Well, it wasn't as good as the last couple of weeks, but still a decent show overall. So that's what I thought about this week's AEW Dynamite. Let's get into what I thought about this week's NXT on USA. NXT coming to you from the empty Full Sail University Arena in Orlando, Florida. A video kicked off of the show highlighting the match, the main event between Keith Lee defending the NXT North American title against Dominik Dijakovic and Damian Priest in a triple threat match. Your opening match of this show was Velveteen Dream taking on Bobby Fish from the Undisputed Era. Pretty good match, actually. We haven't seen Fish in a singles match. I don't know if Kyle O'Reilly is hurt or just it wasn't there, but this was a pretty good match, and I like the chemistry between these two guys. I mean, I'm huge. I say it all the time. I'm a big guy in chemistry, but you know these guys are really really good, and I haven't been high on Dream in a while, but I thought he was good in this. At the end of the match, after the commercial break. Bobby Fish went for an ankle lock. Dream clawed to the bottom rope to break the hold. Fish grabbed his leg. Dream punched him back. Fish went for a sleeper hold. Dream lifted him up. Bobby slides off, jumps on the back for a sleeper hold again. Dream pulls him off, hits a Dream Valley driver for the win. Velveteen Dream is your winner. And I do want to play for you what he said after the match regarding what he wants next.
NXT champion. Adam Cole, if you put your video games down long enough and take a second to open your third eye, maybe you would realize that the time for play is over. Your experience is coming. Play hard, but you're about to get worked harder than you ever have before. Courtesy of the Dream.
Open up your third eye and realize the experience is coming? He's about to get worked harder than ever before. What's this third eye and it's going to get worked pretty hard? That sounded really horrible coming out of my mouth. Not a bad match between the two. It ended a little anticlimactically and there were some weird commercial breaks in between, but yeah, that was a good match. We got a video package of Rinku and Sohrab, who is a new Indian tag team. They attacked Matt Riddle last week, along with their manager, Malcolm Bivens. And I do want to play this little interview that they had after that from Malcolm Bivens explaining where they're from and what he's all about.
Malcolm Bivens, last week you introduced your two friends to the
associates
to the NXT universe by brutally beating down Matt Riddle. What message were you sending to Riddle and the NXT universe?
Well, it's great to hear that my reputation precedes itself. I'm a business manager. I've been traveling all over the world searching for the biggest, baddest tag team to bring here to NXT. And they're right here behind you. Rinku, 6'4", 275 pounds. When he hits you, you would drop like a sack of bricks. And Seraph, 6'8", 300 pounds. I dare someone to get in his face. I am begging you. I would love to see it. Together. They're Indus share. But all three of us, we're a family. Bivens Enterprises.
NXT Universe, hum yahan aa gaye hain. Ab tumhe itna dard aur itni takleefein denge na ki baat samajh mein nahi aayegi. Bhai ne sahi kaha, tum sab roge, gidgidaoge aur apne zindagi ki bheek mangoge.
Browser waits. We're waiting.
I like it. I like the fact we have a new tag team. We have a new manager. They're still using managers now, which is great. I think that's an old school thing that was sorely underutilized by WWE. You know, Bevan said that he is a businessman and he searched for the best tag team in the world and he found these guys. You know, one guy is what, 6'4", and the other guy is like 6'8" or whatever. They're and their family. Name of his corporation is Bevan's Enterprises. The name, they then spoke in their native tongues. Yeah, it was cool. I'm all right with it. These guys are big bastards, man. I'm looking forward to see what they do in the ring. Dexter Lumis made his entrance. Tom Phillips said that this guy made his debut last summer and that we haven't seen him since. You got to see this guy. Like, I have no words, man. Like, you got to go on, like, their YouTube page. Like, their WWE YouTube page and look at and watch this match. I don't know if it's a maybe a wrestling version of Dexter from the Dexter TV show that was on Showtime. But this guy looks like a serial killer. Like, he literally never blinks. Has this just blank stare on his face the entire time. Very ominous, very looming, which Lumis is kind of a cool name. That's kind of what his character does, but took on this kid named Jake Atlas, who Tom Phillips also said they're pretty high on. He was making his debut, and there's a lot of buzz around this kid. I don't fucking see it, but this Dexter Lumis guy, man, can really be a star. Like, he can be, you know, whoever your babyface champion will be, like, you know, once Adam Cole's gone. I can really see this guy making some waves, and I don't know, Vince would like it. He reminds me, like, old school, like, Waylon Mercy. When Dan Spivey played that character in the mid-90s, who didn't really get a good run because his body couldn't hold up. But, man, this guy just looks like a fucking stalker. And I'm not talking like stalker, Barry Windham stalker. Like, I'm talking like serial killer stalker. Like, it's really unique. And I'm not sure where he's been or why he wasn't ready. But, man, just Lumis beat the crap out of this kid. Even tapped him out with an Anaconda Vice and then, like, closed his eyes after the match. Like he almost killed him. He's got a good look. He's got cold, just cold staring, like piercing blue eyes. I'm looking forward to see if they keep using this kid. Because it's such a unique character and he has such a good look. And I thought he presented himself very, very well. We got a promo for Killer Cross, or hasn't officially been named Killer Cross yet. I don't even know if that's even going to be the name they're going to use for him, but it's the whole TikTok clock, fucking, you don't stop. Sorry, you guys might not get that reference, but the whole clock thing he's been doing, the whole TikTok bullshit. We then got footage of the brawl between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in the Performance Center from 3 weeks ago. It was announced that Johnny will face Tommaso Ciampa next week on NXT, so That would have been, you know, one of your big matches for TakeOver Tampa, which they said all those matches will be played out on NXT over the coming weeks. We then got a Second Chance Gauntlet match. The winner of this match gets the final spot into the women's number one contender ladder match. Like, there's so many contending matches just for a fucking title shot. You know, whoever wins at WrestleMania between Charlotte and Rhea, the winner of this match coming up next week, the ladder match, will face the winner of that WrestleMania match. But this is a Second Chance Gauntlet match, which means all of the women that were eliminated from their little kind of tournament they've been doing to decide who the number one contender, or who the contenders to be in the number one contender match is. Fucking confusing as hell. But we had Shotzi Blackheart taking on Deonna Purrazzo, the virtuoso, who isn't very virtuoso-y. She fucking sucks. Blackheart took her out first. Then Xia Li came in. Shotzi eliminated her via submission. Then we got Aaliyah, who also tapped out to, it's like a double underhook submission with a bridge. It's a pretty cool move by Shotzi. I'm still not a fan of her character, but, you know, she looked like a world beater here. Not that, you know, the people she's beating are very good to begin with, but Kayden Carter was next. She got taken out with a diving senton splash off the top rope for the win. And then we got Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez. And this was probably the best part of the entire match. And I really have been enjoying the stuff they've been doing with Dakota Kai lately. She ended up getting the win over Shotzi. So a valiant effort by Shotzi in the loss. But Dakota Kai won with a go-to kick for the win. So she takes over the final spot in that number one contenders ladder match that we will see next week, joining Chelsea Green, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim. Yeah, it was all right. You know, I'm not usually a big fan of gauntlet matches, but if done right, you know, like we saw with Kofi Kingston leading up to last year's WrestleMania, it's good stuff. But this is kind of blah to me. We then get a video package highlighting this weekend's upcoming match between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, which I do want to play for you right now. So here it is.
When I first came to WWE, everyone would always say that I looked exactly like Charlotte. Oh, she's a mini Charlotte. For my entire career here, I've been trying my best so I didn't get compared to her. So yeah, I wanted to be a superstar, but I also wanted to be myself. Charlotte's dad, Rick, used to say,
to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
And that pretty much means that to be the best, you have to beat the best. And Charlotte Flair is considered one of the best in this business. I'm gonna beat the best to be the best.
Rhea, I'm going to take you to deep waters.
Flair looking to decimate Rhea Ripley.
And I'm going to drown the fastest rising star in the WWE.
And that's all you need to know about that match. We then get Kushida against Joaquin Wilde, and Joaquin still has the world's dumbest wrestling attire, including a fucked up weird bicycle helmet thingy he fucking wears. But short match, pretty good match. At the end, Wilde hit a flying reverse DDT for a near fall. Wilde applied a chin lock before hitting an inverted facebreaker for a near fall. Joaquin put Kushida in the corner, clubbed his chest, beat him down. Wilde hit some shoulders to the midsection, went for another near fall. Kushida sent him into the corner. Wilde tried to slingshot him. Kushida kicked him in the ribs. Kushida asked if Wilde was all right, which is like he kind of let his guard down. You know, like Wilde's kind of playing possum. Then Wilde forearms him in the face. Kushida kicked the fuck out of him. Wilde hit a jawbreaker. Kushida came back with a handspring back elbow. And then Kushida caught him in with the armbar for the win. Winner by submission is Kushida. Kushida then clapped for Joaquin. They shook hands in the ring and kind of just left it right there. It was, you know, I've been waiting for a push from Kushida, and they haven't really done it yet. So I'm not sure what this match accomplished other than just getting him a win against a guy that nobody really cares about. But, at least he's on TV and being featured because Kushida is a hell of a talent. We then get another graphic from the match that will be coming up next week between what they're calling is the Black Heart against the Rebel Heart in the last beat. you're like, what? Yeah, it's what they're calling the match between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And then we also see that the NXT Women's Championship number one contenders ladder match will be next week as well. And then we see Joaquin Wilde outside the arena. And then this is fucking bizarre. Like you can't see it, but I'll play it for you, and then I'll explain to you what happened.
Excuse me, Joaquin. Joaquin, an incredible matchup tonight against Kushida, but unfortunately you fell a bit short. What's going through your mind right now?
Yeah, great match, but I lost. Again. That's been the pattern ever since I got to NXT. I thought I was going to come here and make an impact, and it just hasn't been working out for me.
Whoa! Hey, Joaquin! Get in the car, let's go! Come on!
Okay.
Hey!
Okay.
Whoa! What are you guys doing?
Get in the car!
No!
Take it away!
Hey, no!
Hey!
Get in the car! Whoa! Get in the car!
He's walking out of the NXT arena. I don't remember who the announcer was, but a woman tried to catch up with him to get his comments on what just happened between the match with him and Kushida. You know, Joaquin said he's been losing all the time ever since he got here. This is not the way he wanted to, you know, to make his name in NXT. And then all of a sudden, an SUV drives up, and like three guys in luchador masks grabbed Wilde and said, get in the truck. And the same thing happened to Raul Mendoza like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and no one ever really talked about it since. Starting to think maybe Kushida might be behind some of this, because if you remember correctly, Raul Mendoza wrestled Kushida a few weeks ago. And then after that match in the parking lot, he was abducted by these guys in masks. Well, now Joaquin wrestled Kushida, and the same thing happened to him. So maybe this will be the push that I'm looking for. And Kushida is a bad guy. I'm not sure what's going on, but just, I don't know, kind of coincidental that these two guys both wrestled Kushida, and then all of a sudden they got abducted by, I don't know, maybe it was the brother's grappler, and just took him out, threw him in a truck, and drove away. Very strange. Our main event for the NXT North American Championship, the champion Keith Lee defending against Damian Priest and Dominik Dijakovic. Good match, really good match. I like all three of these guys. Sometimes triple threats can be clunky, but I thought they did a really good job booking this match and so many high spots. We've already seen, you know, such great stuff between Dijakovic and Keith Lee, and throwing Damian Priest into the mix didn't hurt it at all. I thought he did a fantastic job. This was supposed to be one of your TakeOver Tampa matches. The finish of the match, Priest and Dijakovic grabbed each other by the throats on the apron. Keith Lee hit them with a Grizzly Magnum. Lee then lifted them up on the second rope. They pushed him off. Dijakovic kicks Priest away, hit a twisting moonsault. Kind of like a twist of fate. Not a twist of fate. God, what is Jeff Hardy? What the hell is Jeff Hardy called? Whisper in the Wind. Sorry. He had so many moves. It was like a whisper in the wind. Dijakovic got the near fall on Priest. Priest then went underneath the ring, grabbed his nightstick that he's been carrying lately. Dijakovic blocked it, hit a Feast of Your Eyes on Priest. Lee then pounces Priest over the top rope, completely knocked the fuck out of him. Lee follows up with a Big Bang Catastrophe for the pin and the win. Keith Lee retains his North American Championship. This was a really good show. It was a really strong triple threat match. Even without a crowd, I mean, it was still a really, really good match. Obviously, the crowd would have made it a lot better, and well, maybe not. Maybe they would have been a little bit obnoxious to just keep chanting Baskin's fucking glory all the time. But or Keith Lee, whoop, whoop, that stupid bullshit. But, God, they're so fucking obnoxious. But if that was a takeover, that would have been a strong contender for match of the night, for sure. Like, all three guys did a really, really good job. Overall, people really like this show. I'm looking at one poll that shows, what did you think of NXT? And it was, you know, 72% thumbs up. Then I see another poll between the two shows, and it looks like Dynamite got the slight edge, 53% to 47%. But, yeah, I mean, I thought NXT was a better show, to be quite honest. Not that AEW was bad, but I enjoyed NXT. I enjoyed the matches better on NXT. Well, except for that Gauntlet match. That fucking sucked, but, lots of interesting stuff from both shows. I do want to let you know what the ratings were. Viewership was way down for both shows. NXT drew 590,000 viewers, down about 12% from last week's show that had 669,000 viewers. And then Dynamite drew 819,000. Whereas last week, I believe they were in the 900s. I think they're down like 16%. I'm trying to think what last week was. It was like 940, something like that. So each show pretty much lost like about 100,000 viewers. But overall viewership, AEW Dynamite was still ahead. Combined viewership for both shows was 1.275 million, down from last week's 1.4 million combined. But AEW Dynamite defeated NXT in the 14th head-to-head battle of 2020. They beat it by 95,000 viewers, which isn't really much, to be quite honest. AEW is undefeated, though, in 2020. But it looks like people are a little bit down on these empty arena shows. Even with how great Dynamite had been the last couple of weeks, this one was was not as good, and we'll see what happens next week and see if those numbers bounce back up, especially after WrestleMania, as far as NXT, with the Charlotte and Rhea Ripley match, and with Cole and Gargano, or Gargano and Ciampa advertised for next week. Hopefully there'll be an uptick for the NXT viewership. Well, there you go, guys. That is your Wednesday Night War review show. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, it is at RadRobGaming. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. I stream every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central and every Sunday at 2 p.m. Central in the afternoon. And check out my YouTube gaming page. It is RadRobGaming. If you want to tweet the show, give us a follow. It is at RadTurtlesPOD. Send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. And as I mentioned earlier this week, the Reality Check Podcast Network has signed a deal with the Publisher Desk Network, working hand-in-hand to put out all of our shows on a new platform. We have a whole team working behind us with all these shows. Just a great synergy and a great partnership to work with these guys. We're so excited to be part of their team. So we're glad to be a part of their team. We're looking forward to having a great working relationship moving forward for the rest of this year and beyond. Well, there you go, guys. That is your Wednesday Night War review show. I'll be back tomorrow for day 5 of #RadMania2 with a very, very special guest returning to the show, the one and the only Twitch gaming streamer, YouTube content creator, and huge wrestling fan, Grand Pooh Bear. David Hunt will be on the show again, and we had a good about hour and a half conversation talking all kinds of different stuff between the virus and the effect it's having on the business and just a whole bunch of different things, you know, lots of good wrestling talk, lots of good analysis from him as well. He has a unique perspective on the business, so you guys are really going to enjoy that interview. People love the first one, and you'll definitely love this one as well. So Grand Pooh Bear will be my special guest tomorrow for the 5th day of RadMania 2. Saturday and Sunday for days 6 and 7. Saturday we'll have the flagship breaking down the go-home show of SmackDown and any news leading up until this week's WrestleMania. And then Saturday afternoon we'll be having our pre-show on our YouTube page, Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast YouTube page. Check us out on YouTube. Leave us a sub. Turn on your notifications so when we go live for our pre-show, you can come hang out with us and chat with us. We'll also be doing a post-game show for both nights after Saturday and Sunday. Too big for just one night is what they're calling WrestleMania 36 now. We'll be doing a pre-game and post-game show for both of those shows to cap off the week. So until then, guys, thanks for listening. I appreciate all your support. Thank you for hanging out with us during these weird times. I know these shows are not, you know, the same. It's just me flying here solo, so I still hope you appreciate the analysis and insight that I'm bringing you, because it can be quite challenging, to be quite honest, with all the distractions that we have going on in the world. I still hope you enjoy the products that I'm trying to bring you in all of our shows here at Reality Check Podcast Network. So until then, guys, we'll see you tomorrow for my interview with Grand Pooh Bear. Thanks for listening, and take care. Thanks for listening to this edition of the RTW Wednesday Night War podcast. Once again, you can tweet the show at RadTurtlesPOD or send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to the RTW Wednesday Night War podcast, only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.